Opening question. When was the last time you had your eyes examined by a professional? I'm talking about your physical eyes. When was the last time you had your eyes examined by a professional? Now, I'm not talking about a self-examination. When you and I stand before the mirror and say, you know, my arms are getting shorter. I just can't seem to read this anymore. So you look in the eye, in the mirror and you say, you know, my eyes don't look any different. So it's not a self-examination. But I'm talking about an optometrist or a professional in the field. When was the last time you went to a professional? Not yourself, not your spouse. Honey, I can't hardly see to drive anymore at night. Would you look at my eyes? Do they look the same to you? You've been married to me for 40 years. Would you look at my eyes? Folks, that's not much of an examination. And this is partially a true story. I heard about a guy who shot at a deer this year and missed it. You know what he blamed? His eyes. Not his skills, not his gun, not his scope. You can just see him going back to the hunting club. Boys, I swear, I just don't know what happened. Cleeteth. That thing was standing right there, right in the middle of the field. And I pulled the trigger and it just laughed at me. Would you look at my eyes? And old Cleeteth goes, Jim, your eyes look the same to me. Here's what we'll do for you, Jim. We're going to put you in another part of the woods and you'll shoot all you want to. You ain't going to hurt nobody or hit anything. Friends, that's not an eye examination. Here's what the experts say about getting our eyes examined, especially in the month of January. They recommend if you're age 30 and under to have your eyes examined no less than once every 5 years. If you're age 30 to 40, some of you here, you should be getting your eyes examined at least once every 3 years. 40 to 55, every 2 to 3 years. Raise your hand if you're 55 to 65, a few of us. We should be getting our eyes examined by a professional once every 1 to 2 years. And if you're 65 age and above, everybody raise your hand, 65 age and above, at least once every year, and we thank you for it. Wow. This is more than just an introductory sermon question related to eye examination, i.e. even eye neglect, friends. It's serving as a platform for a similar church-related question. Here's the church-related question when it comes to our eyes. When was the last time we scheduled an appointment with a great physician, being God Himself, to examine our eyes as we see, as individuals, and also as a church? When was the last time you and our radio listening audience prayed that prayer? Oh God, may we see things as individuals, Christians, honoring you, and also collectively here as a church. How many of you know the Bible says God doesn't see things as we see? Have you ever read that? Sure, it says it in multiple places. God doesn't see as we see. Hence, we've adopted a new theme for this year. I invite you to open up your worship guide, your bulletin. Notice on the left-hand section, the sermon notes area, you're going to find some words down here pertaining to today's message. It's talking about 2020 vision, referring to our theme for this year. 2020 vision, focus on God. See things as God sees. Do you see that there in your sermon notes section? 2020 vision. Now, throughout this year, I'm going to be reminding us the need for us to have 2020 vision. Perfect vision for God, not our vision. We don't want to see things as we see, but as God sees. You come back tonight to a business meeting, our family gathering time here, we'll be going over the Lord's business. It's not our business. It's not our church. We must conduct ourselves in a manner that God is pleased with. Hence, we must see as God sees. So whenever I say 2020 vision, the key word is focus. I want you to say focus. Let's practice that right now, shall we? 2020 vision. Focus. That's it. Focus on what? Focus on ourselves? Me, myself, and I? No. Focus on God's vision for this church, this year and beyond. I thank you for the wonderful reports we just heard from our school teachers here. I'm not ready to circle the wagons. I don't spend a lot of time in seminars, and like I already attested to, I don't read a lot of periodicals. You would think that the world's going to a hell in a handbasket. And I'm being blunt with that question. They've kind of given up on the young people. Are you kidding me? The young people today, here's what young people want today, Hannah. They want you to be real. They want you to be authentic. They want you to have a vision, not just go through the same motions, doing the same old things. They want you to be visionaries. And they don't even realize that they're taking it from the Bible. When the book of Proverbs says, where there's no vision, the people do what? They perish. Some of you know that verse. If there's no vision, people perish. Where's our vision today? Where's our vision today? Sometimes we go into a new year without a new theme. I'm not talking about something catchy, some little click, something to put on the overhead. I'm talking about having the voice of God extended through myself, your teachers, the leadership of this church, and experienced by you so we can be visionaries for Jesus. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut. Let me show you what I learned in a psychiatric class many, many years ago. Are you ready? Put your hands to your side. Thank you. Now, fold your arms. Fold your arms. Great. Look at your arms. Which hand is on top? Mine happens to be my right hand. I'm right-handed. It's my dominant hand. Put your hands down to your side again. Fold your arms the opposite way. I can't do it. I got to really think. You see what I'm saying? And I remember being so frustrated, I'm disrupting the class because I couldn't do this. And I thought, are you kidding me? I'm somewhat athletic. How can I not bring my left hand up over here? And I'm looking, and everybody just starts laughing at one another. We're creatures of habit. Without knowing it, we go through the same old motions. So this year, we're going to change that. We want to see things as God sees them, not just go through the same old motions. I love the variety of music we have in this church. How about you? I love the variety of prayer, the variety of ministries. I love the people here enjoy sharing their gifts. I don't know if I thank you or not up here, Miss Baker, but the baklava you made for me after Christmas, I want you to know when I ate my first piece, I saw Jesus. I'm just being honest. It was so sweet. I said, this is so heavenly. I saw Jesus there. Terry, it was wonderful. And Terry said, I really just didn't feel like cooking over the holidays. But after the holidays settled down, she said, you know, it's therapy for me. Is that okay to say? And Dallas, I just want to share that love with you and others. Brought in baklava to the preacher. I tell you, that's like getting an A on your test here. Friends, this is a brand new year and a brand new you and a brand new me. Boys and girls in Awana, boys and girls in Children's Church. I saw some teachers here in the back had a tabernacle made. Teachers laying on the floor inside of a tent with the boys and girls. Thank you for these efforts. I thank you for the nursery workers. I thank you for those who brought in the snacks today. Lori, for Children's Church. Just bringing all this in, Erica. And just I thank you that you want to be the eyes of Jesus and the feet of Jesus. And we can accomplish this. We can show more than just compassion. We can show empathy. We can relate to those who aren't as blessed as what we are. As I've already said, we learned yesterday just in a homegoing celebration of a young man who died way too early. Consider with me Matthew chapter 20, please. You already have your Bibles open. Open right now. Matthew chapter 20 is going to be supporting our vision for this year, our theme for this year. 2020 vision, focusing on God. Say it with me. Focus. Focusing on God. Now, whenever you land in any portion of Scripture, we're in Matthew chapter 20, you always want to ask yourself, where am I? Who's speaking? What's going on? So you have the who, what, where, when, how, and why. Matthew chapter 20, you find here Jesus teaching about the kingdom. You see, as your Bible's red letter, like mine is, you'll see Jesus is speaking. He's teaching here about the kingdom of God. And then right in the middle of this, look in verse 17, and specifically 18 and 19, you go find Jesus not talking only about the immediate earthly kingdom, but the kingdom to come. Thy will be done. I'm in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples with him. At this time, he said to them, behold, we're now going to go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, referring to himself, one of his favorite titles, shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Is that what your Bible says? Wow. What a party pooper. Right in the middle of all of his miracles, his healing, He's teaching parables. Everybody's excited. He said, by the way, boys, don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of this. Keep clear vision. Don't lose sight of the fact that I came to die as a ransom for you. So verse 19 says, and shall deliver him, Jesus, speaking of himself, first person, to the Gentiles, to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day, here's the good news, he shall rise again. Focus on that. Not the death of Jesus, not the burial of Jesus, not the death of America, not the burial of America that we once knew. No. Rise again. We can rise above this based on the Holy Scriptures and the promises of God if we have God's vision, God's sight down here. Well, folks, this is, again, just an overview of chapter 20. But right behind this, you're going to find a mother showing up. And she's pretty excited. She's pretty proud of her boys, just like we are proud of our children and our own grandchildren, you know, and has on the bumper sticker of her wagon, you know, my son is a disciple of Jesus Christ. My son is an apostle of Jesus Christ. She's excited about this. But she asked Jesus, following these verses down here, Lord, is it possible? Look in verse 21. So, Lord, is it possible that my two sons may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left hand, in this kingdom you're referring to? Do you see that there? Now, folks, we can launch into a lot of criticism here, but that's not my intent. But she got caught up in seeing things as the world sees. She didn't see it as God sees it. I say this again. She got caught up in seeing things as the world sees. Position, prestige, and power, rather than humility and empathy and compassion. She got caught up in this. She's saying, look at my boy. He's following this great miracle leader around, this great rabbi, this great teacher. Where's she going to be when Jesus dies on the cross, he's already foretold? Where's she going to be then? She was not seen as God wants her to see. And that's why we're launching into this new series, this new theme for this year. Focus, try to see things as God sees them all around us. So Jesus said, you don't really understand what you're asking. And he tries to explain it down here. Can't you imagine how embarrassed your boys were? Can't you imagine, Mom, don't go to the master and ask about this, but even though we probably really do deserve it. At this time, the disciples didn't see things as Christ wanted them to see it. Now we come to verse 29. And Jesus, through his own power, all God and all man, the Son of Man, he provided real sight, physical sight, and spiritual sight. Notice, after this little sojourn, heading to Jerusalem, they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude, a great crowd followed them in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 39. This great multitude followed them. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard, see, they couldn't see, that we've already attested to the fact that they're blind. They couldn't see. They heard this crowd coming. They heard that Jesus was passing by. So what do? They cried out, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Here's the start of a new year. I don't mind telling you, I've cried out to God for mercy for my sister. She almost died. Double pneumonia. Thank you for your prayer. She's home. She's resting. She's still not well. I've cried out for many of you in your own homes. I'm not going to be specifics, but everything from marriage to children to your own health. Crying out to God. What did we learn last week in Psalm 37? Here's the beginning of the year. It's prideful to say, well, let's roll the dice. It's all going to work out somehow. Come sarah, sarah. No. You have not because you ask not. It's not only okay to ask God, it's biblical to ask God. But what did we learn last week? You don't tell God with your fingers pointing, here's what's wrong with my life, here's what I expect. You ask God, God, help me to see as you see. God, give me that which I need, not what I want. And how many Christians pray like this? God, I'm angry because I'm sick or because I'm in this situation, rather than saying, God, help me to see. That's what these blind men down here did. One of these men here was named Bartimaeus. The other disciples refer to this here. The other gospel, they name him. But Matthew said, that's not important. But I'll give you another disciple. Another man that was here. Not only Bartimaeus was here, but you know who else was here? You know who else was here? You were. I was. And currently, I still am. I'm in need of sight. How about you? I'm in need of mercy. I'm in need of grace. How about you? That's what these guys prayed for. Bartimaeus and another guy. Put yourself right there. Right there on the side of the road. You understand the situation? They had to beg for their daily food. They didn't have a plague. It wasn't leprosy. But there's those poor blind guys on the side again. You know why they're blind? You know why they're blind? Because God is judging them. Is that what the Bible says? Of course not. Of course not. When I see people today that are spiritually blind or people not as blessed as us, I bet you God's judging them. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. It might come home to roost. Verse 31, they're crying out for mercy. The multitude rebuked them, saying, listen, don't try to steal our show. We're having a great time following this guy around. Too bad about you. But rebuked him because they should keep their peace. Keep quiet here. And they cried out even more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Has God ever brought you to that point, even this year? It's not about your dignity. It's about the deity of Jesus Christ. When you go to a friend you can trust, you say, listen, my life is a mess. 2019, I'm glad that's behind me. That's why most Christians even approach a new year. I'm just glad I made it through another year. Have you heard anybody say that? Rather than saying, to the glory of God, I made it through another year, but I wonder what He has in store for me this year. I wonder what God can do through me and through this church this year. That's the good news. Goodness. Rather than us trying to script it, rather than us trying to tell God what it's going to be like this year, you say, God, how about this? Let go and let God. Once again, we learned this last week. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will surprise you. God, won't you surprise me this year? I love when I do premarital counseling. Don't anybody get mad. But I remember the first couple that I met with. I wasn't real nervous, but I'm going to tell you, I had, you know, all my training behind me, all my classes behind me, all my forms, all my questionnaires, all my books, all of my credentials behind me. And God just said, ask them where they see themselves a year from now. And so rather than going in and doing a survey that I normally do and things, I said, hey, folks, I'm so honored you allow me to participate in your marriage ceremony. But before we get to that, let me ask you about your life together. Not the wedding, but your life. Where do you see yourself? Before I even get out of my mouth, where do you see yourself about one? She goes, 1 month from now, here's exactly, we've already picked out the house. Preacher, you're going to love this house. We already picked out the house, and we got a new caravan because we want two children. I want one boy and one girl. I want Buffy and Jody, and then we want a white picket fence. He's already got a dog, so we get, and I sat back and just laughed. And I'm not ashamed. I laughed. She said, did I say something funny? I said, no. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. You haven't even said I do, but you're done. You've already planned your entire life down to the picket fence and the curtains in the window. You've already got the children, the dog, and you picked out a new caravan to fill them in. Where's God in this? It took me an hour to break through that. Question, where's God in this? When do you allow God to bless you? When do you allow God to see things as you see? Well, verse 31, they cried out and said, be quiet. And they said, no, we're not going to do this. An opportunity is passing us by. And right now, this would be a good time for you and the radio listening audience to ask yourself, if Jesus was passing by, which He is right now, would you sit on your hands? Would you close your lips? Or would you cry out for mercy? What if you're in need of salvation? Well, what if I just wait one more day? You already know where I'm going with this. There's no promise for tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. This day, January the 12th, 2020, in the year of Adonai, our Lord and Savior, could be your spiritual birthday. Well, preacher, that's the problem. I know I'm saved, but my life's not really what I envisioned it to be 20, 30, 40 years ago. Wouldn't this be a great year to say, God, give me your glasses. Help me to see what you have for me. I ask the average person, what do you think the purpose of life is? You know what I usually get? I know you're not going to like the answer. Eat, drink, and be merry. I'm saying, you know, you're quoting scripture. Oh, really? I didn't know that was the answer. I said, no, that's not the answer. The wisest man next to the Lord Jesus Christ, he condemned that phrase. Eat, drink, and be merry is what the pagans say. Those who die with the most toys wins. That's not our goal in life. The last page of the book of Ecclesiastes says, our goal, our purpose in life, class, is to glorify God in all that we do. What do you mean? Can you play sports? Sure you can. Glorify God. Can you go and have a nice dinner day? Sure you can. Can you buy a new home? Sure you can. But God, this is your home. This is your life. This is your ability. Help me to live it, to sing it, to practice it, so others, watch, will see, pun intended, see Jesus through my lifestyle. That's my goal in life. Whatever I eat, whatever I drink, whatever I do, do to the glory of God. Not unto men, the book of Colossians says, not unto men. Well, these guys were just crying out for help. What would you be crying out for today? So Jesus looks and he asks him a very simple question in verse 32. He stopped. Can't you see the crowd? Is he really going to take time with these two blind guys? And he said, what? You see that in verse 32? What? What do you want me to do for you? By the way, in the stillness and the quietness of tonight, I would encourage all of us to get alone, and rather than doing all the talking, why don't we do some listening? How many of you know that prayer should be listening as well as talking? Listening. Be still, Psalm 46:10, and listen to the voice of God. How does God speak? Perhaps you've never heard. Through His Scriptures, through His Spirit, right now through His servant. Are you listening? Are you listening? If God were to ask you this question, verse 32, how would you respond? What do you want? What shall I do unto you? And they said, Lord, since you're asking, we sure would like to be wealthy, is what they say in verse 33. We sure would like to be famous, is what it says. No. God, just open our eyes. I love that contemporary song. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see Christ. Open. So Jesus extends his compassion on them. Verse 34. And by the way, here's one of my favorite Bible verses, depending on your translation. Jude 22, the Bible says, some people have compassion. And P.S., they make a difference. That's the part I like. We should all have compassion. We should all experience and exercise empathy. It's a two-way street. But those truly who see things that God sees, we have compassion on others and we do something about it. It's an active word. Rather than saying, wow, look at those poor souls on the side of the road. Wow, look at the people that are hungry. Look at this and this and this and this going on. What are we going to do about it? So he had compassion on them, verse 34. And he touched their eyes. Perhaps you need a touching from God as well. And immediately their eyes received sight. I think that's a picture of salvation right there. You don't have to go to class. If you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me and save me, he will save you today. Isn't that the good news? Wow. Today. And I believe these two blind men, Bartimaeus and someone else, I believe they became disciples of Christ, Christians, based on the next four words. They got up and they followed Jesus. You see that in verse 34? How tempting would it have been to then run to the highest part of Jerusalem, Jericho, Galilee, and say, look at me, look at me. I once was blind, but now can see. Now I see things in full living color. It's all about me, but they didn't do that. They just humbly follow Jesus, let me ask you, do you see things as God sees? Do you and I see things as God sees? I have here four pages. I'm not going to be able to read all of them, so I want you to sit back and listen. But four pages of some favorite Bible verses I put together pertaining to sight. The Bible in the Old Testament, well as the New Testament. Sit back, I haven't done this in a long, long time. Sit back and just listen to the Word of God while I read about seeing as God sees, sight. The Lord said to Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who gives man his sight? Referring to himself. Is it not I, the Lord? 1 Samuel 12. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Samuel. A lot of us need to practice that today. Just stand still and see what God's about to do. 2 Samuel. The Lord will do what is good and right in His sight, not our sight. Our deacon chairman there tonight shared with us at a deacon's meeting. Now I'm so excited. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people, talking about believers in God, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their land and heal them. Watch this. Now, God says, my eyes will be open unto them. So if we don't do things as God wants us to do, His eyes are closed to us. His back is turned to us. Job said this, I myself will see God with my own eyes. I and not another. How? Because my heart yearns within me for Him. God's eyes now are on the ways of me and men, my every step, he goes on to say. Psalm 19, verse 14, many of you have claimed this as your life verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. By the way, that's a good question right here. Could this be said of us today? The words of our mouths and meditation of our hearts, are they pleasing in God's sight here in 2020? I love Psalm 34 when the psalmist said, come taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that great? Come taste and see. Not as man sees. I'm going to hurry. Psalm 119, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see the wonderful things in your law. The Lord gives sight to the blind, Psalm 146. We see it down here represented in the book of Matthew. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 26. Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than him. Wow. Isaiah makes a plea for God to open the eyes of those that are blinded to his spiritual truths. Ezekiel said, they have eyes to see, but they do not see. They have ears to hear, but they do not hear. Why? Ezekiel 12, 2, because they are rebellious people. Matthew 7, by the way, those of us who love to judge, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank and is in your eye, you hypocrite? First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly the need of others. Mark 8, do you still not understand? Are your hearts still troubled? Do you have eyes, but you still fail to see what God has in store? Luke chapter 2. My eyes have seen your salvation, God, which you have prepared in the sight of all people as a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory. Yes, your people, including Israel. He goes on to say, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men. Once again, that's why we have a purpose-driven church. We want a purpose-driven life. Rather than just going through life, crossing your heart, and you hope to die and you get to go to heaven one day, what's our purpose? To glorify God in all we say and do, especially the church. And on and on and on and on it goes. Corinthians, no eye has seen. I love this one. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow, God's sight. Anne and Ruth, we're talking about heaven there. We can't even imagine. When I'm in her home, we always talk about heaven. Ward and your son, we always go there. We always, and I love that. I know what's in store for me at your house. But she'll say, but Pastor, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend the glory of heaven. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, even what you're going through right now. 1 John chapter 3, we shall see Jesus as he is. Why? Because in Revelation 1:7, I'll finish with this one. Look, Jesus is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who crucified or pierced him. Friends, in closing here, I'm just going to ask you real quickly. Do you and I see as God sees? Does this church see as God sees? Don't blame the government. You know, the world, you know, we can do that all day long. Don't blame the school system. Do you and I see as God sees? What's the purpose of the church? All right, we've got to take time to do this. Shoneys can wake. I've already said, what's the purpose of man? To glorify God. I will ask even preachers sometimes, what's the purpose of your church? Actually, God's church. Yeah, I know. Good. So what's the purpose of the church? Well, here's a canned answer, to help people. I'll say, well, that's a little vague, to help people. What do you mean? Well, if you want to be like Jesus, you got to feed the hungry. And we do that here. We have all the different ministries in our church, all the way down to a blessing box. That gets visited on the average a dozen times a day now, the blessing box, right? I look outside my window a dozen times any given day. Well, so we ought to be like Jesus. We ought to feed people, okay? And, you know, and we ought to be counselors, sure, you know. Battered wives and children, yep. And people stop by and they're looking for money. You know, we ought to help them with their medicines and all that. Yep. We should. We ought to feed them. We ought to counsel them. We ought to help them with money. God allows us to do so through the counseling session here. We just don't give money out. We certainly help them there in those areas. No monetary contribution without an... We have certain criteria by which church council and the deacons and others have decided we want to be that agency of God. Yes, we want to help. But is that it? Is that it? You're missing something very important. What? I mean, you're trying to help people. The down and outers, not, but what are you missing? Where's the gospel? Where's the gospel in all that? You feed them, you don't give them Jesus, they still die and go to hell with a belly filled. If they use our gymnasium over here and we say, yeah, go and have fun, and nobody prays, nobody extends a hand of fellowship, nobody invites them to Sunday school, we might as well be a recreation center. And I'm not saying we do that. But if all we're going to do is load up our cars and go out and deliver food, and you don't pray with anybody, you don't reach out to anybody, you don't give them a gospel tract, you send them to hell. What are we doing? Well, we're seeing like the world sees is what we're doing. So you mean, Dallas, if we're going to be focused, look at your handout again in your sermon notes section. If we're going to have clarity of vision, 2020 vision sees as God sees, the gospels will be the foundation. Everything should point someone to Jesus. Yes! I make no apology for that. No apology. If we have trunk or treat, we're going to have a counseling area. We'll be putting tracks in there. I told you this before. If Awana, Vacation Bible School, what we got to give them the gospel. You and I will stand before God one day. What a blessed church. Come back tonight and listen to the year and report what this church has done through the grace of God. If all we do is feed people and educate them and help them, and give them a hand up, but we don't point them to Jesus, we have failed as a church and as individuals. That's the clarity of the Scriptures. So often throughout this year, I'm going to be reminding us of a threefold purpose-driven church. Pull out your pens right now, please. Pull out your pens right now. The purpose of this church, we're always going to ask ourselves these questions. This is it. Where are we, gentlemen? Coming forward. Okay, take me to that. I'll give you the answer. Here's the answers for the blanks in your bulletin guide. A threefold purpose, the theme of this church is fitting the 2020 vision, is going to be to exalt the Savior. You see that? Exalt the Savior. That's really, really, really important. Whatever we do, point people to Jesus Christ. Point people to Jesus Christ because this world is so messed up. When I was in Richmond this past week with my sister in the hospital for a couple of days, town council was voting on whether or not to remove all the historical Civil War monuments down on Monument Avenue. I don't care where you weigh in on that fight. It's been going on for just the past few years. Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy, and you have some great Christian men and women who died representing both sides. So you have a variety of statues going down Monument Statue Avenue. Town council has been on this partisan hunt to take down these symbols of hate. Not heritage, not history. So you know how I weigh in on this. Just what Abby said earlier about history. Council convened and said, we're going to put this on hold. We'll vote on it again. The vote was 6-2. We're not ready. We want a unanimous vote. During the course of that night, people went down with spray paint and wrote, "God is gay," on Stonewall Jackson's statue. There's no fear of God. To publicly tag a nationally accredited statue of a great Christian man who loved all people. God is gay, and has some other graffiti down there all over the place. No one's really upset. They sent the crews down there to clean it up. My wife and I looked at that watching on the hospital television set. I said, "Honey, there's no fear of God. There's no respect, no reverence for God. We have forgotten how we as a church should be meeting these people, but pointing them to Jesus, not pointing them to a Republican or Democratic party, pointing them to the person, Jesus Christ himself. He's the one who can change that hate." The second thing we're going to learn down here is how to equip the saints. Not only do we want to exalt the Savior, everything we do, how does the gymnasium, the fellowship hall, the Sunday school class, how does it exalt Jesus? And also, how does it equip the saints? We certainly want to do this. Equipping the saints, that's why we take time here on Sunday morning. I try to be a Bible teacher as well as a preacher. I'm more than just come up here and try to tickle intellects and try to tell you some stories and things for you to take home with you and talk about again over lunch. We want to equip you. That's called discipleship. So then you and I can go out and change the world to the glory of God. I also saw when I was in the parking lot of Chick-fil-A down in Richmond, a bumper sticker, my new favorite bumper sticker. Now, I wrote somebody in this church that loves this, loves going, and you'll understand why. And it said, "There's no problem in this world that a trip to Starbucks or Disney can't fix." Can I get amen? I can't relate. I'm too tight. I'm not paying $6 for a cup of coffee, and I've never been to Disney. But that's okay. If you enjoy those kind of things, great. But I want to say so bad at Chick-fil-A, they had a $12 invitation on their door saying, "$12 for smiling faces and those who know how to practice hospitality. $12 an hour to say, my pleasure. Chick-fil-A sauce, please. But I want to say to the person driving this minivan, great. They were flying the Christian flag and all that. Great. You know, no trip to Starbucks or Disney will solve all the world's problems. You're forgetting something else. His name is Jesus. Focus this year. Everything we do, I'm going to close with this, should be exalting the Savior, equipping the saints, and lastly down here, of course, hit it for me, guys, evangelizing the sinner. That's it. That's why we're here, evangelizing the sinner. Yes, of course, we must do this. Years ago, I took a few guitar lessons, G, C, and D in a chorus. That's all I needed to go to the nursing home or to entertain myself in the quietness of my home. And I remember the guitar instructor saying at the end, "Dallas, you seem to have a little bit of rhythm, but you have a long way to go. Look at me, Dallas. Do not put your guitar under your bed or in your closet." And I thought, well, that was rather crass of her. "What makes you think I'm going to put it under my bed or in my closet?" She said, "Well, most people do. When they finish taking guitar lessons, they take and they put their guitar in a case, they slide a mat under the bed or in the closet. You know why that's bad? Because you will never touch it again. You look at my fingertips right now, I couldn't make a simple G chord if I had to because my fingertips are too tender because I haven't touched my guitar in 6 months. It came to pass. She's right. And I thought, dear God, how that applies to our Bibles. Don't take your Bible when you go home today and just put it in a drawer or put it on a dashboard or put it in your briefcase or put it in your glove compartment. You need to keep it with you all the time. Why? Because there's sinners out there who need to hear, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Don't put your Bible away. No one fired me for this one. I challenged us last year to do this. It's very likely you have more than one Bible. Very likely. Can you dedicate one Bible to the bathroom? I'm being honest. Very likely you'll be visiting the bathroom throughout the day. Take one Bible, dedicate it. You're on your phone anyways. Don't say you're not. In the bathroom, people say, you want to borrow my phone? Can you put some hand sanitizer on that first? No, I'm okay. I'm good. I got my own phone. I know where that phone's been. Amen? Don't lie and say you don't do it. So here's the thought. Once you get rid of your phone, why don't you put a Bible in there or a devotional in there and spend time with God? Since you're going to be there anyways. Folks, the last closing challenge simply is this. Well, I didn't have it up there. And just focusing on God this year as never before. Let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, while the praise team comes up right now, God, I give this to you. Help us to be soul winners this year. Help us to be equippers this year, teaching others. Help us to be exalters this year, to exalt you. Yes, God, help us to see things as you see them. May we stay focused in 2020 as never before. Oh, how we love you and we thank you and we praise you for a simple message like this. Wow, exalting, equipping, and evangelizing. That's why we're here. That's the purpose of the church. May everything we do point to this threefold theme, this threefold vision. Everything must fit this template. 2020, knowing that you will be blessed then. We love you. We now offer ourselves in response to what we've heard here today by surrendering everything. And all of God's children said, amen.